an ongoing concern.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. The banking industry has gotten smaller in this survival of the fittest climate, but the players that are left are still showing signs of illness. There are reports this morning that Bank of America has asked the Treasury for more money. B of A got $25 billion from the first round of the bailout. But apparently, since Bank of America bought Merrill Lynch, it's learned that Merrill's losses are worse than it thought. Also this morning, the relatively healthy J.P. Morgan Chase reported a 76% drop in profits. The Senate votes today on releasing the second half of the $700 billion. Most would agree the first half was doled out a little haphazardly, so there's opposition in Congress to releasing this second half of the money. Barack Obama promises it will only go to financial companies and people facing foreclosure. But Congress might try to make sure of that. More now from John Dimsdale in Washington.
Lawmakers have criticized the Treasury Department for not holding banks accountable for what's become of the bailout money and for changing strategies midstream. Louisiana Republican Senator David Vitter is sponsoring a bill that would prevent the department from getting the remaining $350 billion.
TARP has really devolved into a slush fund for the administration to do whatever it wants to, given the circumstances, any week.
If Vitter can't get 51 votes to disallow the funds, the Obama administration can spend TARP money just as the Bush administration did, with few restrictions. But the House today will vote on a separate bill sponsored by Massachusetts Democrat Barney Frank to require more bank disclosure.
Now, I believe the Obama administration will do this better than the Bush administration, but I want to go more than simply believing that.
Frank says it's important to make the safeguards official. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
The Dow is getting closer to the 7,000s. This morning, it's dropped another 100 points to 8,100. The NASDAQ is down 17, and the S&P 500 is down 12. In Asia today, big losses, 4 and 5%. European shares are down just a tad so far. Shares of Apple are sliding this morning. CEO Steve Jobs announced he's taking a few months off to deal with health problems. But some people wonder if he'll ever come back to the company. And if he doesn't, those are some pretty big shoes to fill. By most accounts, he's a creative genius with great vision. We're joined by our reporter in New York, Jeremy Hobson. Jeremy, CEOs get replaced all the time. What is so unique about this situation?
Well, the analysts I was speaking to this morning could not come up with a CEO that could be compared with Steve Jobs. They had to go back to people like Carnegie and Rockefeller, and even those people are not exactly the creative and marketing minds behind everything that their company does. And one of the problems for Apple is that they have let the focus be so much on Steve Jobs that it's not on the company, and shareholders are unable to see the way forward without Jobs.
So what might Apple do to, first of all, calm investors a little bit, and second of all, prepare a strategy for life without Steve Jobs?
Well, the first thing they could do is a serious PR job on Tim Cook. This is the COO who's going to take over through June. Nobody knows much about him. What we do know about him is that he makes the trains run on time. He is an operations guy. An analyst I talked to this morning says, you know, he doesn't have the same vision as Steve Jobs. But the bottom line for Apple is they have got to take the focus off of Steve Jobs in the near term and put it back on the company and the products that they're putting out.
All right. Jeremy Hobson in New York. Thanks.
Thanks, Scott.
This is the Morning Report for Thursday, January 15th on Marketplace.org. The European Central Bank cut interest rates by 0.5% today to 2%. But that still isn't giving the European stock markets any kind of lift. From London, Stephen Beard reports.
The banks are in trouble, and we're not just talking about the woes of Citigroup and Bank of America. Some of Europe's biggest financial institutions are reeling. This week, the bad news has been unremitting. The profit warning from the mighty Deutsche Bank sent shockwaves across the continent. So did the forecast that HSBC will need a cash injection of $30 billion. Further big job losses at Barclays have piled on the misery. David Buick of the BGC Group says all this is having a predictable effect on bank shares.
We've seen in a period of just over a week valuations of these banks right across the spectrum and right across the world fall dramatically. There is a perception overall now, I'm afraid, that the banking sector does require fresh capital.
And he says with investors scrambling to get out of bank shares, that capital will almost certainly have to come from taxpayers. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Some U.S. corporate executives and environmental leaders head to Washington today, united behind this message: cap greenhouse gas emissions now. This coalition includes GE, Duke Energy, and the big three automakers. They say the fallout in the economy only bolsters their case for a cap. Sam Eaton has more.
The 32 members of the U.S. Climate Action Partnership want Congress to pass legislation that would cut CO2 emissions 14 to 20% over the next decade and 80% by mid-century.
That's a pretty complete change from business as usual.
That's Jonathan Lash, head of the World Resources Institute. He says businesses are making decisions today about how to invest in a clean energy future. And without a clear price for carbon, that money and the jobs it would create may not be spent.
There's an enormous carbon question hanging over all these decisions, and it's a carbon question that can only be answered by Congress.
The coalition, including the World Resources Institute, favors a mandatory cap-and-trade system rather than a carbon tax because it would set specific targets for emissions reductions. He says that would make planning easier for the group's members, which represent just about every sector of the economy. I'm Sam Eaton for Marketplace.
Today, Hawaii becomes the first state to switch to digital TV. In about a month, it'll be digital only everywhere. But there are some concerns about this. Barack Obama has called for a postponement. He says a lot of people aren't ready. And environmentalists are worried, what's going to happen to all those old TV sets? From the Marketplace Sustainability Desk, Shia Levitt reports.
Jensen Kroll stands between pallets of shrink-wrapped TV sets stacked about 6 feet high. He oversees regional e-waste recycling for the company Waste Management. That includes this plant in Somerset, New Jersey.
These TVs are all here to be deprocessed or demanufactured down into their final components.
Cathode ray tube TV sets are sawed in half to remove the leaded glass. Metals go into their own bin and plastic casings into a trash compactor. Kroll's noticed more old TV sets since the digital switchover was announced, but lots of TVs don't make it here. Instead, they end up in landfills, where environmentalists worry their toxic components can cause harm. Before the stream of obsolete TVs turns into a flood, some environmental groups are pushing manufacturers to foot the bill for recycling their products.
They should just build it in as part of the cost of when we buy a product. If I'm buying a TV, part of what I should be paying for is the cost of recycling that television.
Barbara Kyle coordinates the Electronics Take Back Coalition.
When the manufacturers are in the loop like that, they actually have an incentive to modify their products to make them more recyclable.
Some major players are already on board, among them Samsung, LG, and Sony. They're starting to pay firms to recycle their old products. Doug Smith is Sony's environmental affairs director. He says electronic waste contains more valuable materials than any ore mined from the ground.
With enough volume coming in, we can actually be more profitable at generating new raw materials than a mine should be.
Some states prohibit the disposal of e-waste into landfills. Others have legislation mandating that manufacturers take responsibility for electronic waste collection and recycling. Hawaii passed its own bill last year that puts the responsibility on manufacturers, but it will take a few years to phase in the requirements. In Brooklyn, I'm Shia Levitt for Marketplace.
Share your thoughts with us at marketplace.org. in Los Angeles. I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for tuning in and have a great day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.